Hello, and welcome to the Roundtable Discussion on the Comic Per Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this Q&A episode, I'm joined by James. We're going to discuss some of the questions we got in April 2026. James, how are you doing tonight?
Doing all right. How are you doing, John?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Now, we got questions from X-Men Patrick and Dr. Mo and from Michael Ho as well. So we got a couple of different people we got questions from. And normally, I kind of read through them ahead of time, maybe organize my thoughts and stuff. I think it'll become readily apparent very quickly that I did not do that this time. So we'll see how this goes.
Shooting from the hip. I like it.
Oh, yeah. Getting the real answer, the hot take, that's what it is. All right, from X-Men Patrick. First question is, what have you been reading digitally since the last discussion of finding what to read? Are you reading series, main titles, or events? I've been chasing events like Battleworld and Dark Reign. Dark Reign doesn't have a reading order, so it's difficult. Also caught up with Ultimate Spider-Man. That is a great question. I know for me, my reading has changed from what has come out to what do I want to read?
Yes.
And I'm much more targeting things. I think when we had talked a week or so before we did the monthly comic spotlight, I'm like, well, here's what I'm planning on reading and talking about. Now, there's always the risk that I would read one of them and it's like, I got nothing to say, but hadn't happened yet. But I'm still playing catch up, finishing off a few things that were kind of midstream when I flipped from physical to digital. I have not really gotten onto a regular rhythm of staying current on things digitally. And some of that is there's not as many properties as I would like there to be that really encourage me to do that.
Yeah, I know what you mean with that. Me, I think I've told you this about 100 times now. I'm ADHD. One of the things, it's a really true thing. Out of sight, out of mind for me.
Yeah.
And if you have this attention span thing, when you don't have something in front of you, and it not just comics, like a person could be out of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think about them, and it's not because I'm a jerk, but when I see the person, I'm like, oh my gosh, I missed you. I haven't seen you in so long, but it's out of sight, out of mind. That's just how it works. And so with me going to digital, I essentially broke my brain because I wasn't getting the catalog that was forced to me in a box and I had to open it up and read it. I'm not getting these things I have to read. And so my iPad just kind of sits there. Unless I remember, which I don't remember. And so when I do, every now and then I'll go in and I'll read something. But it's like you, whatever I'm in the mood for, which tends to be more of the indie stuff. And that's just kind of where I am. I read stuff for the book club. I read some indie stuff. I dip into a few books that I was drawing from DC and Marvel that I knew I enjoyed or I remembered. And other than that, that's kind of it. So I think if you are an ADHD person, a person who struggles with that, if you go digital, you'll probably be reading a lot less because there's not something there kind of pushing you to read. I have to read. I got to get rid of the stack. I got to read. I got to get rid of the stack. It's just, it's something there. And then when you don't do it for several days, you forget about it. And that's where I am.
I think the out of sight, out of mind really sums a lot of it up for me.
Yeah, that's how I've been. So it's horrible. I love comics, but if they're out of sight, I'm not thinking about comics. I'm thinking about other stuff, like a vacation or watching a show with my wife or work or playing a video game because I sit down in front of my computer. I'm not pulling up the app. Maybe I'm doing something else.
Yeah, certainly I've been playing a little bit more on the video game side, more the app side, not like PC games or anything like that or Xbox games or anything.
Yeah.
And I also have been doing a lot of reading. It's just been more books than comics these days. I'm averaging about a book a week this year.
Oh, cool.
I'm enjoying that, and it's not like I'm trying to read less comics, but like you said, I'm not reading the catalog, so I'm not getting that kind of, ooh, I should check that out. I'm reading few enough comics, and none of them are really cross-selling any other books that make me think I ought to check that out.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's as much of, I don't say a discovery issue as anything else, but they're not in front of me to make me think I've got to check that out.
Exactly, yeah. I think we're kind of similar in that regard, so we're doing similar things without even meaning to, but I think it's like a natural progression to when you go digital, you don't have that forced habitual thing or that stack staring. You remember when you used to tell me, oh my God, I got 3.5 short boxes I got to read.
I never phrased it that way. You always put the oh my God in front of it.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, I would get so stressed out. But for you, it's just a thing. But for me, it was like, because I'm like, I almost treated my hobby like work, which was very strange. Very strange, but that's what I did. So anyways.
Yeah, I think for me, I never minded when stuff would pile up. It just meant I needed to find the time and go read it and stuff. And I've been letting things pile up. It's just I haven't had the incentive to go read it. And I think a lot of that is part and parcel of having pulled out from being all in at Marvel and DC. There's nothing really incentivizing me that I need to go catch up on the absolute line or this, that, or the other or something.
Exactly. Exactly. So I feel like that sums it up for me. Out of sight, out of mind is where I am ultimately at with comics. And yet I still like them. And thank goodness we have a book club, because the book club is what kind of forces me into the habit of reading things, because we come up with a topic, whatever the book is that we're going to read, you know, you name it. And I have to read it. It's given me a time. I have to read it by this date. And so it's just a natural progression and I do it and it's fun. We all do it together. It makes it enjoyable. But if you don't have that thing that's pushing you to do it, it's, yeah, you're never going to get to it. And that's where I end up sometimes.
Well, and certainly for me, and it had been this way when I was reading physical too, is I would kind of wait until we're getting near a monthly comic spotlight and it's like, okay, now I've got to go do some reading.
Exactly. So then I go into a rush of like, oh yeah, what do I want to read? What would be good to read? You know, just trying to figure stuff out.
Well, what I did this time was go through the apps of what's available.
Exactly.
And there are a couple of, well, you know, I know there's another issue of this arc out. Maybe I'll just wait for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or I've only got one issue of Captain America. Or have they gotten any of the Avengers I want to read up or, you know, whatever. So there's the availability aspect as well.
Exactly. So I'm always going to love comics. I'm always going to love Conan stuff. And that's just in my wheelhouse. And I tend to like a lot of Image indie stuff. So if you ask me what I'm going to be reading, it's probably going to be more along that line. And then I'm always going to dip in and check out something if Tom Taylor's writing it. Or I'm going to check out something if Jeff Johns is writing it. Mark Waid, I'll give him a chance. Jason Aaron. But beyond that, I just don't feel a need to be going through the grind. And I always have things to do versus digging up more things to do. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got plenty of things that can fill my time that, since I don't have this influx of comics every week, every month, physically, that they're a lower priority as a result.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think we're kind of in like a similar mindset and we're both there. And I think it's just where modern comics are and it is what it is. So there we go.
If there were comics that we couldn't wait to read the next issue of, we wouldn't wait to read the next issue of them.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's just not the case.
Yeah. Fortunately, there's not a lot of must-read material out there. And that's not my fault. That's the creator's fault and the industry's fault or someone else's fault. It's not my fault.
It's certainly a situation, whether it's somebody's fault or not. And it's one that results in me reading less.
Yeah. I'm reading a heck of a lot less. But what I do read is purposeful, either for the book club or for my own enjoyment. And that's I'm completely content with that.
All right. X-Men Patrick's next comment was, did you check around on how to sell chunks of your collection? He's going to try Whatnot, then Facebook Marketplace. My local LCS doesn't want mid-tier collections right now. I have minor keys, but nothing major because I'm keeping some gems for myself. I have not done anything on the potential of selling off my collection. It's certainly something that is on the to-do list, but I've got a few other bigger projects before I would even really start to get to that. And one of them is I'd want to, of course, inventory what I've got versus just, I don't say sell it blind, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, if you're going blind into it and you don't really know what you have, that's not a good situation to be in.
I want to not only know what I've got, I want to know roughly what it's worth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know what Patrick's talking about. I am not the type of person who wants to piecemeal and go through and create small packages.
Oh, yeah, I would not do that.
And sell, like, let's say you have, I'm making up a number, 75,000. Let's say I have 28,000 comics. That would take me years of my life to inventory it, post it on eBay, do this. And sure, you may get top dollar. It's not worth the time that it would take personally. So I'm more along the lines of a, hey, Eric, or hey, Mr. Comic Shop guy.
Chuck at Mile High, or the guys over at mycomicshop.com, one of them, yeah.
Yeah. I want you to bring 10 of your guys in here, or 5 of them, and haul it out and write me a check, and I'm done, and I'm okay with it. Leave the Conan Omnibuy. I'll keep that. That's it. That's all I want. The rest of it you can have.
That's the kind of thing. You take what you want, you squirrel them away in a different room, and basically say, everything here, how much?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would do, but to get to that, you'd have to, like you said, know what you want, have somebody who has a team of people to do it. It's not going to be one guy who comes in and buys 80,000 comics. That would take him probably 2-3 days of hauling and moving, putting stuff onto a truck. That you need a team of people to do that. That's not a one-man job. How many years did it take you to accumulate this mass that you have, John?
Well, I've been working on the collecting of it for 40 years or something, but the time it would take somebody, if they had a U-Haul or whatever big enough for it, they could empty it out. If I had it ready for it to be emptied out, they could probably do that easily in a day. Now, was it a one-person job? Absolutely not. You'd want at least 3-4 guys, I would think. But it's not like you need a team of 20 or something.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's something that I haven't really looked into, but it's something I really want to do. And not want to as far as like, I don't love my comics and I don't like to go and look at them. And there's something therapeutic about sorting my bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
Something weirdly therapeutic about doing that. But it's more so that I'm getting older and I work out a lot. I do crazy stuff. Box jumps, deadlifts, I'm doing Olympic weightlifting, I run, I do all kinds of crazy stuff. There's going to be a point in my life where I can't be dealing with hundreds of pounds of comics and boxes.
Yeah.
And I realize I'm 52, and if I don't do something before I'm 72, maybe I can't do something with it. And so I'd rather have my health about me when I'm doing this, and it's a choice that I'm wanting to make versus a choice that's being made for me, and I put that burden on someone else. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
I see these hoarding shows, and I see the family, as soon as they get the stuff, they dump it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd rather dump it and me get the money than put it on someone else and have them go through the stress and get maybe not what they should get for it.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. Total sense.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's where I am.
All right. His next comment is, are you grabbing collected editions like trades or omnis since you're not grabbing floppies? I'm still picking up some trades of things I really enjoy, like Exquisite Corpses. For me, I did pick up the comics for Ukraine because it had a 8-page Astro City story. That, I believe, is the only physical comic book I have bought this year, and I'm recording this at the beginning of May. I did pick up, finally, because it finally got printed, the latest edition of the Overstreet Comic Guide, which I swear is like twice the size of the previous volume. And I'm not holding out for a volume after this in terms of I'm not sure they'll publish one.
Okay.
But no, I have not been grabbing collected editions or trades or omnis. I've got a few on order, although I need to coordinate with Eric on that. There is the artist edition for the Titan stuff. There's the omnibus for, was it Crisis they were doing another version of?
I think so. Crisis on Infinite Earth, so something like that.
Something like that. I'd have to go pull up my list. I haven't really looked at it in 6 months or so. So I've got a few things that I had on order, but I'm taking the going digitally very seriously in so much as I'm not accumulating more physical stuff. I've got plenty of physical stuff.
Okay.
Going back to the question of selling off the collection, if I had magically done that, I would have a lot more space in my house because, you know, 72,000 comics takes up a sizable chunk of real estate. Plus, I've got a bunch of trades and collected editions and stuff, some of which I absolutely want to hang on to, others of which not so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. It's not that I'm trying to get rid of them, but I don't need to hang on to them the way I want to hang on to some of the other stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Believe it or not, I'm getting omnibus still. I think I still have a big chunk of them that's supposed to come from Eric.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when they'll be coming. I don't even know what in the hell it is, but the stuff that was supposed to come out all the way until like May and June.
Well, yeah, because the gestation period on those between ordering and them shipping is so outrageous.
Yeah, Marvel sometimes it's like 9 months. So I think he's waiting for all of that stuff to come in, and I'm going to get a massive several boxes. And I have no clue what's going to be in there. So am I getting them? Yes. Did I buy them? Not an edition. But the only thing that I will purchase still is the Titan Savage Sword of Conan Omnibus, the new ones, just because I want to complete that collection, because the only thing I'm going to keep when I sell my collection is going to be Conan, just have it short of Conan.
And that makes total sense.
And that's just because I'm a big fan, and that's where my heart is, and I can have it book format and be done, and I don't need to have 100 shelves. I can put that on one small shelf and be done with it. And so that's what I'm doing.
That makes a ton of sense. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so other than that, no, I'm not buying anything. I'm reading digitally.
Yeah, yeah. All right, next comment was, I know it's been a while since you went to a con. Would you go to a local one now that we are so-called disconnected? I'm going to try to go to Baltimore again because my daughter wants to meet Trish Forstner. Not sure who that is.
I don't know either, so I'm not sure.
I'm certainly not going to say I'm never going to go to a con again. Part of it for me is how I'm using my vacation days. I'm trying to spend them, you know, traveling with my mom while she's still able to do that. So I haven't gone to a convention really since the pandemic. I've got a few I've been keeping my eye on. There's Fan Expo up in the Dallas area, which is only about a 4-hour drive away. So sometimes they've got an interesting mix of people, but is it worth the time and all that sort of a deal? It hasn't worked out yet. At some point, yeah, I'll go to some more conventions. C2E2 is certainly always on the list. I've had a great time there. I've got some friends in the area, but I don't have any immediate plans for that. If I were to go to one this year, but it doesn't work out schedule-wise for me for a couple of reasons, but Power Morphicon out in Pasadena, California would be one that I'd be interested in too.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I actually, the con near me, they have one in Daytona Beach, which is really small. Mm-hmm. And that really small one is basically to pick up back issues, which is not what I'm into. And they'll have some small creators there, very small.
Yeah.
But it's not something I'm going to go to. The big one that's here is if I wanted to go see people, and that's MegaCon in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
I went to it twice. It's a good convention. There are all kinds of people there. When I say all kinds of people there, like famous people, there's TV people, there's movie people. They'll have the whole Star Trek The Next Generation cast or whatever thing it is. You can go meet Lou Ferrigno if you're a Hulk fan. But I don't get enjoyment from going and hanging out with 200,000 people. I find it very stressful, personally.
It can be.
Yeah, so it's a little bit overwhelming, so it's not my cup of tea. And so I'm just like, I'm good. I don't need to do this. Would I do it only if I was going with someone else who wanted to go? I would go to a con if, like, I was going up to meet Eric and you, and we were going to go to that one they have in Chicago, C2E2. But that would be, like, a different reason than the con itself. It'd be to hang out with you and Eric. And the con is just the, let's, here's something for all of us to do, that type of thing, if that makes sense.
I think part of it for me is the logistics of going to a con are more complicated, in so much as I've got the food allergies and a few things like that to deal with. So it's not just, hey, I got a spare weekend, let's go drive to another city and go hang out somewhere and stuff like that. It's where am I going to eat, making sure I don't get sick, all that kind of a thing, because it's a bit more stress and logistics than I often care for.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's not that enjoyable going to them. But like I said, if we're ever going to have a big get-together, like the Comic Page crew and people who listen to the podcast, I'll go. I would definitely go, and just, but more to meet you and the fans that are going versus the con itself.
and certainly that would be fun to do, but for me, again, the nitty gritty logistics of just the travel side of that,
it would be a pain in the butt.
It's stressful.
Yeah, it's very stressful. So I would say the con, the smaller the better. Like Chris Myers, he has a small one by him. His might be cool because it's really small. It'd be easy to find each other versus like a C2E2 or a MegaCon or a San Diego. That's too big. I don't want to go to this monstrosity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think me going back to San Diego is less likely to happen. I need something that's big enough to have enough things to keep me interested in stuff like that, and not like I feel like I can walk it around and boom, I'm done in 3 hours or something.
Yeah.
But not something where it's like, I'll never finish this, it's too huge, or there's 100,000 people there or something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's where the Fan Expo and stuff up in Dallas, they'll get some really interesting celebrities and stuff like that, or comic creators and stuff. It's a good size, and it'll keep me busy during the day, but it's not overwhelming either. But then there's still the logistics of, okay, what am I going to do for lunch? I can't necessarily eat at a convention center.
Yeah, yeah.
So things like that.
Yeah. It takes some of the fun out of it when you got a plan like that.
Well, it takes a lot of the fun out of it. And just Because if I make a mistake, it's not, oh, that's too bad, you goofed. It's, I may be throwing up in the middle of the convention the next day.
That sucks.
Yeah. So, yeah, that would be bad. All right, final thing from X-Men Patrick. The Absolute line is dominating. What do you make of it, and what is your guess on the state of the comics when they end the Absolute line with Dan Slott begging for subs? I really have a bleak outlook on comic industries.
I don't know what he's talking about with Dan Slott begging for subs. I guess, did he go online and do that?
There was a thing on Slack a while back, I forget exactly when, where there was something, I don't know if it was taken out of context or not, on a podcast that got picked up by some website, of he was begging for sales so his title could go past number 5, and I think it was a Spider-Man book.
Oh, wow. That's funny. And it's Spider-Man book.
And I think Jason Zeller actually listened to the full thing, and I forget if he said it was taken out of context or it's not, or if it was just the usual, a creator trying to drum up sales for his thing.
Yeah.
But somebody took it as the sky is falling. And the sky is always falling. It's just sometimes rain.
Yeah.
Again, I've been saying for 30 years that our comic's going to continue. Can, you know, the next price hike might be the next or whatever. And I think it's always been a valid concern. It's yet to kill the industry. Now, Absolute line, is it dominating? I haven't seen sales numbers. I can't say. The only one I have stuck with, and I haven't read the last few issues, is Absolute Superman. I've been hearing it's been doing, the Ultimate line in general, particularly the Batman one's been doing great, but it's a new take on Batman. Go figure. Do I think when it ends it's going to take the rest of the industry with it? No, absolutely not. Pardon the pun. But is it going to hurt DC? Well, if it's a big seller and they kill it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also something that'll kill DC if they don't kill it. If it's a big seller, it runs the risk, just like the Ultimate line originally, will it supplant the mainstream?
Yeah. And them saying it's dominating the market and it really dominating the market are two different things. Because I have no clue. You have no clue. The only one who knows if it's... Nobody knows if it's dominating the market because DC only has their sales numbers. They have no clue what Marvel's selling. Nobody's sharing that. The Penguin Random House is not giving Lunar, here's our sales numbers. Show them how much it's doing. I mean, individual shops like DCBS can say it's dominating our shop, but DCBS is not the whole market.
I think there are a handful of people on the planet that would have a pretty good guesstimate on how various things are doing. Certainly, Cameron and Christine over at DCBS and Lunar are very, very smart people. They've been in the industry for decades through DCBS and stuff. They actually know the numbers through Lunar and stuff, so they would know how Absolute's doing. They've literally got those numbers. Could they stack it up against how they think Marvel and stuff's doing? Yeah, probably with a decent degree of accuracy. Not pinpoint, but close enough.
But they do have a good guess. They don't know exactly, but they know ballpark.
Yeah.
It's about 60% or whatever. They're so much of the market.
They also know how their comics, they've sold to DCBS in the past, yada yada. Again, they could guesstimate pretty well. Likewise, I've got to imagine that Milton Greep has some good inside information. I would expect John Jackson Miller to have a fairly good feel for it, if not hard numbers.
I mean, hell, Midtown Comics probably has a good ballpark on how the market, what's dominating based on Marvel DC split in their stores. Midtown has a lot of comics they sell.
They do, and they've got the mail order. I just don't know how big the mail order is and how much of their information is biased towards just the local New York stuff.
Yeah, yeah, no clue.
But certainly they would be one of the people that if they said, hey, I'm worried about this title because, or this publisher because, I would listen.
Yeah.
But I always think the comics have been on the verge of death for literally decades now. And I don't think that makes it an overblown concern or one you should dismiss. Because just because it's teetering on the edge doesn't mean there's not going to be some breeze that finally pushes it over.
Yeah.
There may or may not be. I don't know. But Absolute being successful, they're in a damned if they do, damned if they don't situation. Again, same thing with the Ultimate line over at Marvel when it first came out ages ago, 20 some odd years ago. If you've got an alternate take on your main line of heroes and it's doing better than the main line of heroes, that's a condemnation of your main line of comics.
Yeah.
Either you replace it with this new upstart brand, which would alienate the people who are still reading those things, and then this becomes the de facto standard, not the new upstart challenger. And I think it loses its luster at that point. So you can't keep it going forever, but if it's selling, you don't want to kill it either.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a weird thing, but if it is dominating, like you said, could be bad. And I thought the plan was that this DCKO was to essentially put the kibosh on it. We'll see. I really don't know.
It seemed to at least have them meet up, but if it's a dry run for an event a year from now where that happens, that seems kind of silly. And if the Absolute line really was dominating, are we getting more stuff? There's not like an Absolute Titans or an Absolute Justice League, or there are many more Absolute titles they could be doing if it was really doing so well. And I'm not saying it's not doing so well or that they should be oversaturating it. It just seems like that's what tends to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
At some point, I'll catch up on the handful of Absolute Superman stuff. If it ties into the DC stuff and I still care when that happens, maybe I'll go back and read some of the other books. I probably won't.
Yeah, I probably won't either, because it'll be on to the next thing, which will be who knows what by that time.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to the questions from Dr. Mo.
Yeah.
He's got some feedback concerning the last month of Comic Spotlight, a couple of questions. His feedback is, during that last monthly Comic Spotlight, you had mentioned the Milestone Compendiums.
Yes.
And you said there are currently four available, a fifth slated to be released in July. And he gives a link to the Penguin Random House.
That's a lot of them.
There was a lot of original Milestone books.
Yeah. I bought the first two compendiums. I did not continue beyond that. So I didn't even know that there was four out and there's going to be a fifth. I didn't know that.
I don't think I'd realized there were four out, but I had, I think, all the original stuff, so I didn't care. It's all good. Some of it is great. Certainly, I think the original Static stuff is brilliant. It was a modern-day Spider-Man for its era.
Yeah.
He says the fifth compendium contains the final books from the original continuity. Dwayne McDuffie's final contribution to the line was the Milestone Forever two-part prestige book. He said that, weirdly, the JLA Milestone crossover that McDuffie wrote that led into Milestone Forever doesn't appear to be included in the collection. And he gives a link to the arc in question over at the DC Universe Infinite stuff. First off, I think Dwayne McDuffie is a terrific writer who never really became the A-lister that I think he deserved to be. He did a ton of great work over at Milestone, over in the Justice League title. He did a lot of great stuff on the Justice League cartoon. At one point when I was thinking about going into comic publishing, he was one of the people I had made sure to get his card from at Con that year. He would be somebody I would want on my team. He passed away way too early. I think he had a ton more to contribute to the industry. Great writer. Seemed all around be a really good guy, too.
Oh, cool.
So, if you are interested in the Milestone stuff, I do think the original continuity is the way to go. Everything else, it's not bad. It's just not the original continuity. Certainly, Static was a ton of fun. Icon and Rocket. A lot of the things they've been doing more recently with the Milestone characters, the foundational aspects go back to the original run, unsurprisingly.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
All right. He also recalls the new 52 Static Shock series being mentioned. Book was written by John Rossum, who contributed to the original Milestone continuity. However, that title was a separate continuity, if he remembers correctly. That Static Shock with the new 52 was actually in the new 52 continuity, and at one point, Static was a member of the Titans.
Oh, that I did not know. You must have brought it up, because I know nothing about the new 52 Static.
I don't remember if we brought that up or not.
I don't remember. I know I didn't, because I know nothing about it.
Static is a great character, but the Milestone stuff, they had a crossover in, I want to say, the 90s, Worlds Collide, where a lot of the Milestone characters meet up with the Superman family of characters, and there's some odd parallels of Hardware and Steel and, you know, some stuff like that, Icon and Superman, obviously. And then in the new 52, they integrated the Milestone stuff into the universe. It seemed to get split out again and then brought back in recently. Is it part of the DCU or not? Well, according to the new history of the DC Universe and the new history of DC, the Dakota incident, it absolutely is, but I'm surprised by that. Yet, Wildstorm got pulled out.
Who knows?
When you're mixing brands like that and some come and go, it's like pulling a thread on an intricate tapestry. You run the risk of the whole thing just unraveling.
Like, don't pull a thread on your sweater. You're going to make a hole.
Certainly not in the middle of a blizzard.
No.
Never a good time. All right, so his questions. The final part of Hush 2, Batman 163, is slated to come out on May 27th, a couple of weeks from now. Do you plan on getting a physical copy of the book in order to complete your respective runs, or read it digitally when it becomes available?
No. I answered that very bluntly. No, I do not plan on getting a physical copy. No, I do not plan on reading it digitally. The reason why I didn't like Hush, the second one. Hush 2, I started reading it. I read like the first three or four issues, and I didn't enjoy it, so I checked out.
I was going to answer the question by pointing out it does have a lot of inherent assumptions.
Okay. Oh, yeah. The assumptions I answer then.
Yes.
I just go, no.
I did not even start Hush 2.
Oh, you didn't even start. Okay, I started. I went like 4 issues deep, and I was like, this stinks.
I do not have a physical copy or respective run to complete or to finish reading.
And I would say, I don't think you'd be excited to pick it up digitally and get caught up on it, but you could, by all means.
I reread Hush when we did the book club on it a year or so back. I thought it was overblown back in the day. I kind of still think so now. And I remember looking at the sales chart of Batman, because that was a benchmark title at the time. It was at a certain level. It hit the first issue of Hush. It, I don't want to say double, but it shot up, was at that rough level for about a year. Hush ended. It went back down to about where it was.
That's funny.
And am I surprised it's late that it's taking a while to come out? No, not at all. Jim Lee has had, I think, some health issues that have slowed it down. Plus, what being, you know, the publisher of DC and all. And some of it is, he's not as young as he used to be. He used to apparently draw in the middle of the night at the wee hours and stuff, and he needs more sleep. He's not as young as he used to be.
Exactly.
And hey, I think he should pace himself. I think he should definitely stay as healthy as he can be. And if that means he draws a little less, works a little less, whatever he's got to do, I would like to see Jim Lee be able to do a Hush 3, 4, or wherever they would be at 20, 30 years from now.
Yeah, yeah. When we did it in the book club, I wasn't excited about the title. Not going into it, but like after we'd read it, I was like, eh, it was okay. I got Hush 2 and I had trepidation. I picked up the first few issues. I'm like, this is worse than the first one, in my opinion. This is all my opinion. And so I dropped it. So yeah, there is no run to finish. Do I feel like I'm going to pick it up digitally and get caught up? Probably not, unless we do it in a book club. I have already checked out on Tush. I am out.
Yeah, like I said, I wasn't enamored with the first version to begin with.
Yeah.
When we decided to do it for the book club, it's like, oh, I'll give it another chance. But nothing about this run of Hush 2 had me the least bit interested. And the fact that that Batman title is continuing and overlapping with the other one that's already got 8 or 9 issues out or something is just ridiculous.
And by the way, we love you, Dr. Mo. When I said, no, I'm not reading nothing towards you.
It's a valid question. It just had some inherent assumptions.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good question. All right. Next one.
Next one is, are either of us checking out Capes? It's set in the Invincible Universe. If we're not familiar with the title, it's listed on Image's website as Invincible Universe : Capes. The comic is a workspace superhero comedy that walks the tightrope between silly adventures and drama. When the title launched in 2025, it reprinted the initial series from the 2000s, written by Kirkman. Starting with issue 7, new stories will be published. He knows you, James, expressed some disappointment with superhero titles of late. However, Capes is worth buying if you're a fan of the Invincible property.
Yeah.
I want to clarify, when it relaunched in 2025, it didn't exactly reprint the initial series.
Okay.
It was a redrawn version of the original series by the original artist, who's since had 20, 25 years of more experience.
Ah.
So some of the changes are subtle. Some of them are significant. I saw an article at one point kind of comparing the two versions.
Okay.
I read it back in the day. I thought it was fine. It's not something that I felt I just absolutely had to keep up with these days. I don't need a superhero comedy. It seems like most superhero books are treated as comedy. I think the Superman, Spider-Man this month is a good example with all the backups.
Okay.
So I kind of prefer my superheroes being super heroic, and I don't want to say is straight up like the Batman 66 TV show, but taking themselves seriously like the Arrowverse or the MCU.
Yeah. Okay. I get you. I remember, I think I saw Capes in previews. I don't know if it's the digital previews or something. I don't know where I saw it, but I saw it out there. I saw an advert, maybe it's an email. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't remember. I was intrigued by it. I did not pick it up, of course, physically, because I'm not buying physical comics. It's something that I would consider if it shows up on Global Comics, if I remember. It has me intrigued, but I'm not going to commit to it. What I'll tell you is, if you think it's good, Dr. Mo, let me know what you think, and if you think it's worth reading. And if you think it is, maybe it's something we could do for a book club, but you got to sell us on it. I would just say that.
Are you a fan of Invincible?
I like Invincible. We did the first arc or two, didn't we?
We did, as a back issue spotlight, yeah.
And I thought it was fantastic. I still haven't read the whole Invincible, by the way. I did like what we did.
I would recommend continuing with Invincible.
Yeah.
Capes, as I recall, like you said, some of it's silly, some of it's drama. It's Kirkman from that era. I think if you like Invincible, the series, it's worth checking out as a side quest to it.
Yeah.
At the very least, if you have some time, it's only a handful of issues, check it out, see if it works for you or not.
Yeah, and the comedy aspect may work for me because I'm liking Invincible Battle Beast. And believe it or not, even though it's brutal and biting, you know, and things like that, there's a lot of comedy in there with the AI and the Battle Beast guy going back and forth, and things that happen in there are really funny, but funny and not an over-the-top Deadpool type way, but something that I find genuinely funny, not slapstick stupidity. So I appreciate Kirkman's humor. And so because of what he's done with Battle Beast, Capes has me intrigued. But you read it, Dr. Mo. Let me know what you think for real. Send me a message on Slack, because I know he's on the Slack channel.
Again, he seems to be suggesting it. So
yeah. So I'm assuming he's read it, but yeah. So I might check it. I'm going to go pull up Global Comics while we're doing this. You can go ahead and move on to the next thing. I'm going to see if I can find it.
At some point, I may want to revisit the Invincible stuff. I have not been watching the cartoon. I don't know if it's a faithful adaptation or not, but it's on my list to watch at some point. I just don't know if my sister would be into it or not.
I will say this about the cartoon. My wife and I watched the first season, and I liked it, and she liked it, and she doesn't read comics at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that means maybe it's worthwhile. Yeah.
I just don't know how into the animated stuff my sister is or not, and we've got enough things that I know we both want to watch that it would be a ways down the list.
Yeah. By the way, I just added it. I clicked on follow for Capes. It is in Global Comics, so maybe it'll pop up. I don't know.
Well, if you read it, let us know.
I'm not logged in. That's why I didn't save my selection. I wasn't logged in. I'm logging in. So
that would help to log in.
I was like, why is it not saving my save this? Okay, yeah. Logging in to save
it. I never had to log into the physical comics. Such a hassle in the digital. No, I'm kidding.
Son of a gun.
All right. His last question. Have you considered developing a list of creators whose work you would like to revisit digitally or find new to you titles to enjoy?
Yes.
Yeah, I have considered it. No, I haven't done it.
That's exactly me too. I've considered it and I haven't done it. Like, things that intrigue me is pick your favorite, like Jonathan Hickman in my case, or Jason Aaron, or a Mark Waid, or Jeff Johns. I would love to say, Jeff Johns, oh, look, here's all the JSA stuff I didn't read. Oh, here's all his Flash stuff, and just kind of go through it. I would be cool with that because they produce quality material, quality content, and I'm not worried. Even if they have a dip, I know they'll bring it back versus, and I hate to pick on people, but like, let's say Sam Humphries, which if it deteriorates, maybe it doesn't come back, or pick the writer, Jed McKay. I was reading his Avengers. It never came back for me.
Yeah.
It was bad the whole time, but every now and then he'll write something that I really enjoy, like Black Cat.
Certainly, if I had all the information in an easy-to-query format, I would love to be able to take the ratings of all the stuff I've read in the last couple of years, use that to kind of say, okay, here's the creators that I might want to find more stuff. Bounce that against, I would say, a Comic Book DB, but that's long since died, never got replaced, but like a Grand Comic database. Use that to go find out, okay, what else have they done? Bounce that against my inventory of my collection of what have I got and have I read it or not. Filter out all the stuff, because like you were mentioning, the JSA stuff by Jeff Johns, I read that when it came out. There's so many things that I've already read that the new to me list would be fun to find, but it would take a little bit of effort to go find.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I've absolutely thought about doing this. It hasn't been a priority for me, and at some point it probably may become one, but I think we're at least a year or so away from that happening. But yeah, there are definitely some creators that I've enjoyed enough that finding more of their work that I haven't read would be worth doing.
Yeah. And by the way, Dr. Mill is a very busy guy. I swear, I think he's studying to be a doctor. I don't know what he does. But because of that, he has been to our book club in the past. And I do hope when his schedule slows down that he comes back in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could bring like a thing like Capes or something like that and bring it forward to the club. And hey, now we're all reading it together. And that might be more fun. You know, he could be like kind of like our guide since he already read it, you know, and take us on this journey.
Or some selections from the original Milestone stuff, too.
Yeah, anything like that. Like, so hopefully you come back to the book club when you get some more free time. Miss you, Dr. Mo.
Definitely hope so. All right, from Michael Ho. To answer James's question from last time, yes, he will check out the Orville since both of us recommended the show.
Ah, cool. Nice.
Great show. I hope you love it. And I think there's a fourth season coming out.
I think so. So I'm excited for it. I'm ready. Let's go.
I'm certainly looking forward to that. And then his first question is, I know John doesn't, I guess he's missing the word like violence, but James does. James, have you read End of Life or Lobo? They both got number ones recently, funny and violent, kind of like Peacemaker.
I have not read either one of those, but End of Life I was very interested in. I remember seeing it in the previous catalog. And because of that, I went to the DC app and I clicked on it. And I hope I clicked on it in the right way where it's going to remind me next time I go into DC and I'm going to read an issue of it. So maybe, and I'm not promising, but maybe in the May spotlight when we do that, maybe I will have read End of Life.
Okay.
I don't know. So if I do read it, if I remember, and if I clicked it the right way, because I don't know what I'm doing in the apps ever, and I lose stuff all the time, maybe I will read it.
How about Lobo? Have you read much of that?
I haven't read Lobo at all. So Lobo's kind of a cool character. Believe it or not, he gives me the vibes of Wolverine.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. I can see it.
With his macho, you know, kind of the way he carries himself.
Cigar chomping, the facial hair, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, but I know he's completely different. You know, he's cosmic and everything. So, but Lobo, I think I'd have fun with, but I've never read him.
He's not cosmic. He's from space. He's the space Wolverine, essentially.
All right, he's not cosmic. He's from space. All right.
There's a world of difference. Cosmic right. implies really powerful.
Yeah, he's definitely not powerful. Really powerful.
When he was introduced in the Omega Men back in the 80s, he was the last Caesarian or whatever his race is, and he killed all the others.
Yeah, I read something about that. I read a comic with him, and I thought he was really cool. I thought, this is a cool guy. I like him.
The twist was, do not make him bleed.
Don't make him bleed. Okay.
Every drop of blood spawns a new Lobo.
Ah, you know what? I think I read a special somewhere, and that was going on, and it had to be explained, and I'm glad they did it, because that was going on. I was trying to figure out why all these people were popping out.
And they basically had to get rid of that because he's no longer a character. He's a race at that point.
Yeah. All right. Interesting.
They've tweaked the character a lot over the years, much like they did with Deadpool. Both became very popular.
Okay. All right. Well, Deadpool kind of annoys me, so there's that.
Lobo can be that way, too. And there are times where you get nothing of Lobo, and there are other times you can't turn around without half a dozen Lobo miniseries popping out.
Yeah. Those are phases. It's cyclical.
All right, next thing. John, do you know about a show called Armor Sores on Disney Plus? Very derivative of Power Rangers. I watched two episodes, and I'm good. Their Zords and morphed bodies are CG, but not as serious as Super Sentai, but I think at least better than Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills, which I have not watched. If you've never watched it before, you might want to give it a try to have some laughs. It's on YouTube. I had stumbled across that and saw enough that it's something I want to come back to later, and I just haven't had time, because it definitely seemed American Saturday morning derivation of Power Rangers, by which I mean they're aiming to a bit of a lower audience, if you can believe it, and their production values are a few steps lower. In other words, it's very blatant CG.
Okay.
And they are armored dinosaurs? And I didn't watch enough to really catch what's the basis of their powers and all of that, but it looked like it could be interesting. And since I am between Power Rangers incarnations and I'm almost entirely, not entirely done with Super Sentai, I'm almost at the end of Super Sentai. I still have like the first half of it, of the 50 years to watch. I may try to slot that in at some point. So I am aware of it, but honestly, I'd forgotten about it until Michael mentioned it again. So thank you for doing that.
Huh.
I don't know if an episode or two would be enough for me too, like it was for him, or if it had more staying power for me on that.
Very cool.
The other thing along those lines that, honestly, at this point, I'm just waiting for the whole thing to finish, and I'll plow through it, is Miraculous Tales of Ladybug and Cat Noir,
uh-huh.
which is another CG show. The characters are based in Paris. They've got their own mythology that's based on items called Miraculous that give them their powers. They did one movie where they had some American heroes. They've done another one that's actually 2D animated that seemed to have like a 12 Power Rangers sort of a team on it that I'm curious about. But that's one that I just want to start at the beginning and kind of plow my way through at some point when it's all said and done. I've watched enough to find it interesting, but they build on things from season to season, add new characters, whatnot, and I've never kept up with it.
Okay. All right. Cool.
And finally, Michael wants to thank us for mentioning in the monthly reviews that we talked about the Green Lantern, Green Arrow's World's Finest special. He tried it out. He liked it. He's now reading more Green Lantern.
Cool.
So he's very happy with that. So I'm glad that worked out. I love knowing when we recommend something and it really clicks with somebody.
Me too. And I love Green Lantern when it's the right writer. When it's a really good writer, I should say, with a good take.
Yeah, and I think right now they've got okay writers.
Yeah, that's where I am. It's kind of, it's so-so.
But I'd be hard-pressed to name any title right now that I think is really firing on all cylinders. Even stuff I really like, and I'm a good couple of issues behind on the Batman Superman World's Finest. Mark Waid is great, but that's a set in the day, almost, I don't want to say pocket continuity, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I would say that's true with the big two. Like, if I told you Geoff Johns is hitting on all cylinders, that doesn't do anything. Because you're not reading any of those, you know what I mean?
I need to start reading some of those. I think we've talked about doing some back issue spotlights on that. I just need to figure out a game plan for that.
Yeah.
Because I do want to check out some of the Ghost Machine stuff. He's a solid writer, and I want to see what he does unencumbered by any past continuity.
Yeah. And then also, just, I was thinking, Kirkman's really killing it with two books. It might be something you want to check out, but that's really more my wheelhouse than yours, so I'll throw that out there. So it's a maybe type thing.
The other thing I want to check out, if it ever finishes, or, well, I know it's finished, but if it ever gets up on one of the apps, is the Planet of the Apes versus Fantastic Four.
I would like to read that. I never read it, so I would like to read it. Yeah.
I'm curious about that. And they did a Planet of the Apes Star Trek one that crossed over ages ago. There have been a few cross-continuity team-ups or verses or whatever like that that have been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I love the Fantastic Four, and I love Planet of the Apes, and I think you do too. So
yeah,
we could, maybe it'll be fun. We'll read it together. We'll see.
I'm assuming it's not written by Ryan North. If it is, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah. All right. Deal.
All right. So those are the questions we got. I think they were some great questions. I want to thank everybody for sending them in. So thank you, X-Men Patrick, Dr. Mo, and Michael Ho. Would have been obviously not an episode without you guys. And we try to do these as often as we get questions. We save the questions up, and if we have enough by the time we do a monthly comic spotlight, we record a Q&A on them.
Yeah. So, cool questions. Send them in whenever you guys have them. And I'm looking forward to seeing you, Dr. Mogan, in the book club. Hopefully, you can make it soon. And thank you very much. I really appreciate you guys.
Yeah. Anything else?
Nah, that does it for me.
Cool. Thanks for listening to this episode. If you liked this episode, please spread the word about the Comic Book Page podcast by telling your friends and posting a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And please, join our Slack community and let us know what you thought of this episode. I do this podcast because I enjoy talking about comics. So let's talk about comics. The show notes, forum, and instructions for how to join our Slack channel can be found at www.comicbookpage.com. The opinions of the co-hosts and guests are their own. The Comic Book Page podcast is copyright John Mayall. And thanks again for listening.